bill requires the commission to establish and maintain an outreach program to advise organizations and entities on volunteer screening and criminal background checks.
Thank you. John and Kathleen, you both want to come up at the same time and choose who wants to go first and introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm John Fletcher. I'm with the Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor. And I'm here working with the Oregon Volunteers Commission. The Oregon Volunteers Commission is funded through federal funds in our budget. And Kathleen Joy is the Executive Director for the Commission, and she'll help on some of the real tough questions. So I'm here to give you an overview of the bill, and hopefully she'll help me if we get into too much trouble. Let me first explain Senate Bill 60 in just a little more detail. I think Patrick did a pretty good job on the overview, but these two bills came as part of a collective effort from volunteer organizations throughout the state as they thought during the interim, what can we do to promote volunteerism? As you know, volunteers help in so many different ways. They help on your campaigns. They help in our schools. They help in our hospitals. They help the Boy Scouts and the softball teams, and they help in just so many ways. And when volunteers help in our communities, the communities are strengthened, the people that give the community service are strengthened. It's kind of a win-win. And so the state has some benchmarks for volunteerism to encourage that, and those benchmarks have been in place for a number of years. And we are, fortunately, above the national average in terms of volunteering in Oregon compared to other states. But we haven't been increasing our volunteerism. We've been maintaining, or in some years we've even fallen off just a little bit. And so these different volunteer organizations came together in the interim. What can we do to help encourage volunteerism at a higher level? And as a result of some of their meetings and their analysis and their work and their study of other states, we came up with the two bills that we have before you today. And the first one is Senate Bill 60. This provides a policy statement of intent from the legislature supporting volunteerism. It encourages the state to pursue programs and activities that encourage and reward volunteerism. And it requires the Volunteer Commission to be accountable and to provide a report to the legislature about how this is going. How are the volunteer efforts coming along? It doesn't contain any major policy changes. It doesn't have a fiscal. They do reporting now, and they collect this information. What it will do in the statute is require that the legislature be the beneficiary of some of this information so they too can track how we're doing in terms of volunteerism. So it's a rather simple bill, but in other states such as Florida and Massachusetts, this simple policy statement and reporting has been found to be effective in helping the legislature's awareness grow, helping the Volunteer Commission keep on track with their efforts in promoting volunteerism, and also helping all the organizations that work with volunteers to feel the support of the legislature that this is a priority. So that's Senate Bill 60. Should I go on to the next bill? Okay, Senate Bill 61 is the second bill developed by the Oregon Volunteers Commission, and this bill is to help address the issue of background checks for volunteers who are giving of their time and their effort. There's different approaches in different states that are taken on this. Senate Bill 61 was developed in response to a request from a wide variety of public and private organizations who want clarification. They want to know the best way to do this. In some cases, there have been instances across the country where volunteers have been helping with youth or with seniors or vulnerable populations, and these have been people with criminal records or felonies who have no real business doing some of the work that they're doing and putting people at risk. It's a hard requirement to do a thorough background check on every single person that volunteers in any capacity for any organization. That's an extreme that we didn't want to try to require or mandate. And so there's sort of a trade-off between assuring that you have safety in your organizations and with your volunteers, as opposed to the cost of the background checks and the requirements that there might be on that. And so as we thought of what we could do on this issue, there were discussions with the volunteer organizations. There were discussions with the state police and the background checks that they do. A lot of thought went into this, and it was decided the best thing to do at this point is that we should study in depth the policies and practices in other states, look at the best practices going on, and once those are thoroughly understood, we should share that information with volunteer organizations throughout the state so that they can take advantage of that information. People should know what can be done to keep their organization safe. That's a different approach than requiring them to do a number of steps. But we felt this was something that could be done that wouldn't be a burden to organizations out there and yet would be helpful to them. So the bill requires the Oregon Volunteers Commission to study best practices and then to conduct an information education outreach campaign to the volunteer organizations throughout the state and share what they found as far as background checks for volunteers. We feel that the passage of these two bills will be helpful to the volunteer efforts throughout the state. And that concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I noticed that on Senate Bill 61, there were a number, more than a few no votes from the Senate side. I was wondering if you could recap some of their concerns. I don't know if any were expressed to you or if this just kind of showed up on the floor and they thought something panicked them somewhere and they voted no. I'm just wondering if you are aware of any objections.
Chair Riley, Representative Thatcher, I'm Kathleen Joy, the Executive Director of Oregon Volunteers. I did listen to the replay of the Senate. There was one question from one senator who suggested that this bill was going to require soccer moms to have a background check, and I think if you read the bill pretty clearly that we're not requiring anybody to have any kind of background check. So I believe there was some misunderstanding about the intent of the bill. That was the only spoken opposition to the bill was one person. So I did not follow up to inquire as to the others, but I suspect that that was probably their issue too. So.
Chair Riley and Representative Thatcher, in my discussions prior to the vote with various legislators, that was a perception that many people had just reading the bill quickly that, oh, well, we don't necessarily want to require organizations to do background checks, and, you know, we're opposed to that. In fact, there was one legislator, even with discussion and explanation about how this is only sharing information, was still concerned that, well, perhaps down the road this could lead to a requirement, and so they were hesitant, and perhaps that is some of the thinking on that. But even with those hesitancies, as we discussed in the Senate hearings with the legislature, there are legislators that are deeply concerned too that we have volunteers that, you know, shouldn't be there and that they're harmful and that people are at risk, especially if you think about the youth and the people that are disabled and the people that typically interact with volunteers. You know, there was strong concern raised, and some people thought we should do more and we should have requirements. So there are different sides of this issue, And I think the commission has done a good job to find a middle ground and introduce something that will help but doesn't necessarily go to either extreme.
Thank you.
Representative Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What type of organizations are you mentioned many organizations have come to the Volunteerism Commission or the Oregon Volunteers Commission, and I have no background on the commission, so I...
One of the things that we formed in 2004, excuse me, Chair Riley, Representative Edwards, I'm not good at this.
Don't worry about it.
In 2004, as a result of some statewide surveys that we did to over 300 volunteer organizations, we found a real desire for people to have some kind of coordinating group that could both provide information and promote and support volunteerism. So we formed a state committee on volunteerism that is represented by major programs and organizations across the state, all of the 7 volunteer centers in Oregon, all of the volunteer managers associations, to form a true advisory committee to the commission that focuses on volunteer issues. And these two bills actually came out of the work of that committee. The first page in your handout is us, so that you can see that we have 3 programming areas, one of which is volunteerism. The program committees are shown on the left-hand side of the handout. And the last 2 pages describe the work of the Committee on Volunteerism and the members of the committee. So it was this group that speaks for a lot of other groups that got us started, particularly through the volunteer centers, the senior RSVP associations, and the volunteer managers associations, who collectively represent probably over 50% of all of the nonprofits in the state that utilize volunteers. And then when we became aware of the number of confusions and issues around the background check issue, we went out with another survey primarily to small nonprofits, asking them what their background survey practices were, and found out that they were so far over the map and that there was such a lack of understanding on even what options were available to people, that we decided that we really did want to go forward with this effort. So,
follow up,
please.
So, give me some names.
Okay.
Organizations that I would know, that we've all heard of, that are kind of...
Solve, Oregon Parks and Recreation, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Hospital Volunteers Association, volunteer centers in 7 cities, 15 retired and senior volunteer programs in 15 locations. Does that start to help?
Yeah, okay. That's what I was
wondering.
Yeah. Representative Gerard?
Thank you, Chair Riley. Mine's kind of a technical point. Senate Bill 60, there's an emergency clause. Senate Bill 61, there is not. I'm kind of curious as to why Senate Bill 60 has an emergency clause.
Chair Riley and Representative Gerard, there's no reason why we would not, as a legislature, want to immediately endorse volunteerism. And therefore, you know, it made sense that the sooner we can make that affirmative statement, the better it will be throughout this fiscal year as we try to interact with other volunteer agencies. We asked the question of the commission, should we hold off and have it be a policy statement that's effective later in January or not? And is there any real value in having it be effective earlier? And the answer came back that, well, it just means that, you know, we have those several months where we haven't made that statement, and the sooner we can show people that that is what the legislature is behind, then the sooner we can take advantage of having that policy statement in statute. It's a subtle point, but that was the rationale that led to the emergency clause on Senate Bill 60.
Can I say something? Sure. Okay. Chair Riley, Representative Gerard. Another reason that we really wanted the additional 6 months was that putting together this new statewide plan
Back away from the microphone.
I'm sorry. Putting together this new statewide plan is going to require some time, and we would really like to be able to have some results to share with you all 18 months later. And that was why we asked for this first time, to have the extra time period, because it's really important that we spend adequate time out in communities around the state as we start to really explore how to best implement the things that people want to have happen on the local level.
She was referring to 61.
Yeah.
So that's the difference in the two.
Actually, just a comment. I really appreciate the fact that you know how to pronounce my name. That's my goal in this legislative session, that people actually know how to pronounce my name.
And half of them got it right.
That's pretty, I'm not sure I'd go half.
Okay. Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And can't believe I'm saying this, because, I think volunteerism is great, and we should encourage it in any way we can. I wonder about the ability of you to accomplish what you're proposing here, and if there's any chance, this is coming out of my mouth, any chance that this could possibly push to grow the organization, I guess those are, not that I have big concerns about it, but I just wonder. I'm making myself clear.
Chair Riley and Representative Beyer, with respect to the education and outreach program and the background checks, that's a question that is reasonable. Will this lead to an expansion of government and expansion of the commission and the commission staff, and where will this lead? I think that's a fair question to be asked, and I think the answer is, if you look at what the bill requires as far as checking in with other states and then reporting the results, this can be done with the existing staff. They have a plan whereby they can utilize their contacts in other states and follow up on the work that they started, and they can research those best practices. And as far as the outreach and education campaign that they plan to conduct, they already have conferences and educational events planned for the volunteers' efforts themselves, and they plan to piggyback on those events so that there won't be an extra expense associated with communicating their findings on the background best practices on background checks. So in the short run, I don't think that there's a concern that I have about any expansion of the program. Now, I guess we could try to think through scenarios whereby, you know, there would be background checks required in some instances. If you think about that and who might handle that, it probably would not be the Volunteers Commission doing the background checks. It would be the state police or other groups. And I'm not sure that that's a track that any of this will lead to, but even if it did, I don't think it would result in any additional staff for the commission.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Edwards.
Could you talk a little bit about how the commission is funded? You said that there's some federal funds that pay your salary. I think that's what you said. What's the total budget?
Chair Riley, Representative.
How much state money goes into it?
Chair Riley, Representative Edwards, we get no state general fund. We survive. We have an operating budget for the commission, not counting the $2 million worth of AmeriCorps money that we administer both each year, of about $400,000 a year. There is a dollar-for-dollar match required for $214,000 of that, and that dollar-for-dollar match is provided generally by in-kind from Portland State University, which acts as our physical location host.
You have another question?
Yeah, different line of questioning. In the background on Senate Bill 60, one of the concerns expressed is that volunteerism in Oregon has dropped from a high of 65% to its current level of 52%. And it's my understanding that that's from what's presented here is that's kind of part of the impetus behind wanting to move forward with a recognition by the legislature that volunteerism is important.
Mm-hmm.
Is there evidence that you know of, just anecdotally, without going out and doing a big study nationwide or anything, that governmental action can and does influence volunteerism?
Let me go. Chair Riley, Representative Edwards, there is, we're part of a national movement of state commissions on volunteerism that were started in 1994 as part of the National and Community Service Trust. In programs like Florida and Massachusetts and Michigan that are, and Wisconsin, that are very well funded by their states, there has been tremendous measurable growth in volunteerism as those commissions have been able to support infrastructure development for local volunteer management, to increase the number of volunteer centers in the state, and to do more statewide promotion. California just has a whole new promotion model that is running through their commission, that their goal is to increase the number of volunteers in California by 15% within the next 5 years, which is very lofty, but I believe they're going to be on track to do it because they have resources and a lot of partners across the state. We are a much smaller organization, but the partnerships that we have built with grassroots volunteer organizations is really important to us in building and maintaining that impetus for growing volunteerism. We're also in, I'm on the advisory board for the new State Association of Nonprofits, which we've never had in Oregon before. We are looking at some potential funding for all of us in supporting volunteer and nonprofit infrastructure growth that might include us getting to host a statewide database for looking for volunteer opportunities, which is also a proven method of increasing the number of people who volunteer. So promotion is really important.
Chair Riley, Representative Edwards, in the past, the state supported this commission with general fund, and that general fund a few years ago was withdrawn, and the commission was sort of challenged to find resources on your own. Go out and, you know, use federal funds and see what other in-kind funds you can attract. And they've been studying whether they should form a companion 501c3 organization so they can attract more funds. And, you know, compared to some other states, we don't have a lot of state funds going to promote volunteerism. But the commission, it consists of 25 volunteers itself. This committee that they work with, the Committee on Volunteerism, has another 20 members. That's, you know, nearly 50 members volunteering, representative of a number of different organizations. Because we're broad in the commission makeup, I think it's enabled us to tap other sources and do things perhaps without a lot of state funding that other states are using. But it's a good observation that we don't have a lot of state funding going into this, and it's a good question. If we had more, could we do more? Probably could, but we're trying to deal with what we have.
For the record, that wasn't my question.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I may, his question, I believe, and I have the same question, and in fact, I asked you the same question earlier today. What will this Senate Bill 60, in what way will that help volunteerism? You've talked about what you do and how you go about it. Specifically, putting this language in the statute, how will that help volunteerism in the state?
Do you want me to?
You could start.
In terms of the Florida success, and given that they have different state funding, Florida was looked to as a model where they've been able to improve their volunteerism through doing a number of steps. The plan that our volunteer commission is trying to follow mirrors the Florida plan in many instances. One thing that Florida did was this policy statement. It's not the full range of activities. However, it was one step of many to start the momentum towards a greater level of volunteerism. This was one of the reasons why a similar policy statement in our statutes was drafted. We're trying to follow successful best practices of other states. I can't tell you to the extent that this one policy statement, now that we have it, is going to influence such and such an organization and you know, have tremendous results. We can just kind of go by what we found, the practices in other states and the success that they've had to be.
I liked what you said earlier today.
Okay.
What you said to me was, if you're able to show people that the state is really behind your efforts, that means something to people. And you didn't say that this time, but that's what you said earlier today, and I think it makes some sense. And I was hoping you would say that in answer to this question.
Too late now.
So
do let me follow up on that, because if you go back into, Chair Riley, representative everybody in the world, because I don't remember who asked the question. I think it was you. If you go back to looking at the information that was put before you about the background on the State Committee on Volunteerism, the one thing that we heard consistently over and over and over again was, we need government to understand who we are and what we're doing. We need the government of Oregon to want to support us and care about what we're doing. I have some dreams. Much of the work that has gone into this was actually started by Governor Attia in 1979 when he came into office. He ran on a platform of volunteerism. He put together a panel with a number of recommendations about volunteerism. Much of the work that they did is still just as vital today. One of his main things was that he wanted more state agencies to have volunteer programs. That's something that happened for a while in the 70s and early 80s and then fell off the radar as funding went away. I think that it's time for us to go back and start to have some of those conversations with state agencies. I think it will be easier for us to have them if we have this statute behind us that says it's important and that it will open more doors than it will close.
Thank you.
And Chair Riley, in the past we've seen state funding withdrawn. That sends, signals to people out there that perhaps the state isn't behind volunteerism. In the interim, looking at what steps could be taken short of asking for more resources, they thought this was a positive step that could reaffirm, where the state stands, and that will speak to people, as you said.
And you say you don't have any state funding, so we won't take any away. Did you have a question, Representative Patrick?
Yes, I did, Chair Riley. I guess I'm trying to get my arms around who actually reports to you, and how are they reporting to you that they have 5 volunteers, in this organization over here? And I'm just, how do you measure?
Chair Riley, Representative Thatcher, it's a really good question because we are just now getting access to what I consider really accurate data on volunteerism in the state. Until 2 years ago, the only data that we had came out of the population survey that the Progress Board does every year in measurement of Benchmark 30, which is our volunteerism benchmark. Since that time, the Federal Corporation for National and Community Service has contracted with the Census Bureau to do an annual supplemental survey on volunteerism, which is specific enough that they are able to extrapolate statewide data. As a result, the Progress Board has determined that they are going to work with us and utilize the federal data rather than the population survey, which becomes more tricky. It also allows us to start measuring volunteerism at the age of 16 instead of the age of 21 and allows us a long-term greater access to research on what's actually going on. The dream of everyone in Oregon is to be able to to develop a mechanism to actually have agencies report in, but that's very difficult because there are some agencies who actually don't measure the number of hours of volunteer work that happens. And it becomes, with the large growth in nonprofits that we're seeing in the state and in the country, difficult to imagine how you could ever extrapolate that information accurately, asking agencies to report directly. So I'm convinced that this new access to the census data is the best information that we're going to be able to get.
Thank you, Paula.
Please.
Thank you for that. I'm still trying to figure out who gets these census surveys. Is it mostly government agencies or nonprofits who are somewhat funded with public money or civic organizations that, I mean, it sounds like it's more public related, and I'm wondering, are they the ones that are the focus of this, or who?
Chair Riley, Representative Thatcher, this is, the census does polling of individual households every year. You never got one. I've never gotten one either, but they are doing,
you're busy volunteering.
They are doing like 100,000 households a month with some kind of survey, and they use this interim period in between the whatever decicentennial or whatever it is every 10 years when they do the big one to collect specific information for other federal agencies and organizations. So September is our month now, and I'm with you. I found that a very interesting fact because I've never been worried about it, but it is a very large survey that they do.
You'd stay home and answer your phone.
Apparently you have to volunteer, voluntarily fill it out and send it. Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions, Representative Gerard?
One last question, Chair Riley. Thank you. On Senate Bill 61, let's use the Boy Scouts as an example. There's been problems with pedophiles in Boy Scouts. What you're trying to do is design what the Boy Scouts themselves, what the leadership within the Boy Scouts can do to kind of screen out bad apples, if you will, from coming in contact with kids. Is that my reading the bill wrong? Or?
Chairman, Representative Gerard, what I mostly want to do is offer that Boy Scout leadership a menu of options and for them to be able to understand what those options are and for them to develop a screening policy. It's not just background checks. It's resumes. It's references. It's a whole number of things that you would use just like an employee. But what's happening with many organizations is they don't even understand the options that are available to them out there.
That's a good answer.
So it seems to me that like many organizations like the Boy Scouts would already have this type of institutional knowledge and organizational knowledge. Maybe some small groups, maybe the local basketball team doesn't, but to what extent is there, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of potential duplication. I don't know.
Yeah. Let me go. Sure.
Okay. Chair Riley, Representative Edwards, it is complicated because people are at all different levels of sophistication in what they're doing. But right now in Oregon, there are only two entities that have any requirements around background checks. Oregon Mentors, through legislation that was passed several terms ago when Oregon Mentors was started, that actually provides their programs, their certified programs, with free background checks through the state police. Any program that receives funding, any social service agency that receives funding through DHS, they have 85 pages of their admin regulations on what background checks are required for them, because, of course, those are some of the most vulnerable populations. There are actually not even at this point any statewide regulations on background checks in schools. There was a bill introduced by the House Interim Committee on Education at the very beginning of the session, 2401, to make that happen, and I just went online this morning and it still hasn't been scheduled for a hearing. So schools are one population in which that education is not necessarily so. The other people are, in fact, primarily the smaller organizations that do not have the sophistication or the numbers of people or the partnerships with the National Boy Scout Organization or National Red Cross Organization to understand what those practices might be.
But specifically, this bill is to collect and disseminate best practices.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other questions? I have one final question, and that is about Senate Bill 61. I assume this is something that you want, the commission wants to do and has the resources to do. Why do you need a bill to do it?
Chair Riley and members of the committee, there's been, like you say, a number of different concerns about background checks that people will put too many requirements on, other people advocating that, more needs to be done. The bill is a way of stating intent and also holding the commission to a particular standard, which happens to be the middle ground that can help appease a lot of the people we're working with in terms of what's going to be done and how to do it in a way that can benefit all. And it was also done in connection with the state police because they don't necessarily want secondary organizations doing some of the sensitive work that is truly part of the work that they do all the time. And so it was thought that by having this type of a bill, it can really bring the groups together, and the legislature would also have a chance to weigh in to make sure that they were comfortable with this direction. And so that's how it came to pass.
So really you're asking us to put sideboards on it so that people can't question why you're not doing more.
Well, it's part of, I don't know about the questioning more, but the sideboards is part of the answer in that it helps guide us as to what the next step is and helps to gather consensus. We're working in partnership with the legislature on this.
Any other questions for me?
Well, I guess I could maybe have a question for you, but while they're here,
okay.
They're dismissed. Apparently, the objections that were brought up earlier about it either being seen as a requirement or seen as maybe opening the door to requiring adherence to their standards, I'm wondering if it would be possible to amend it to say that this would be voluntarily adhered to or something like that, just to make sure that it's stipulated that it's not a requirement of these organizations, but it's more directed more at the commission rather than at the agencies that they're trying to give information to.
Mr. Chair, I may be able to address that also.
I'm going to take a 5-minute recess here and. Basically, how does the commission feel about the suggestion that we put in an amendment to Senate Bill 61, which would make clear that the recommendations are not a requirement?
I think that I'm also, by the way, the newest member of the commission, so this will be from I'm probably the best person to speak on this issue.
You bet.
I think. That's, of course, the intent was it to be voluntary and to, as Representative Gerard said, to give a menu of options for the different nonprofits, everything from Solve down to much smaller nonprofits. I don't have a problem, but I'm new on the commission. Kathleen would probably know better than I would.
Chair Riley, members of the committee, it becomes more complicated when you talk about the fact that most of these people have to have some liability insurance and that their insurance agents are also supposed to be talking to them about developing their own best practices thing. And I think that this that the liability of the individual organization is going to be impacted whether or not they ever hear our best practices. What we've heard from insurance agents is there are a lot of them that don't have time to do this work with nonprofits, which is another reason that they would enjoy the support of this organization in making that happen. But I don't suppose that we would be opposed to it, since it was never our intent that they would be mandated to begin with.
Okay. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 60 and Senate Bill 61. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 60. And is there any discussion about Senate Bill 60 at this point?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 61 to the floor with the 60 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Beyer moves that we forward the Senate Bill 60 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So moved, passed unanimously. I'm not going to do a work session today on Senate Bill 61. I'm going to ask Patrick to request from Legislative Council an amendment to make the wording that it is not required, it's voluntary whether they take these recommendations or not. And if you could do that, and let me know when you've got that, and we'll do a work session at that time.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 60 be on the consent calendar.
Any Representative Byers move that Senate Bill 60 be put on the consent calendar? Any objection?
Yeah, I object.
Thank you, Representative Edwards. Representative Edwards, would you carry that bill for us, please?
That's what I get.
So with that, I'm going to close.
I guess we should have resolved whether the motion
would you like to withdraw your motion?
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. I'm going to close the committee on government accountability and information technology for today. Thank you very much.